this morning I'm reading the room. I just want to say a couple things that I think are valuable. You know, I've had the luxury over the last 6-7 years to spend some time with Henry and visit with him. And one of the things that I've learned about him is that he was teaching and doing when it wasn't popular, and was kind of the head of that family in terms of presenting Christ. Because it's interesting to me that the communication that Henry's given me over the years is that when Christ got him, he wanted to get everybody else, and it has always been super passionate about that. And I've always had a deep respect. Always made me wish I knew him when he was a lot younger, so that he and I could debate a little bit, because I have a feeling we probably would, but not in a negative way. Here more recently, it's always amazed me how, regardless of how he's felt, regardless of what's going on in his life, the necessity to be here. And I don't believe that's to check an attendance mark. I believe it's because he felt like he got fed here, off of the fellowship of this family, and for that I am deeply grateful at the examples that he has not just set to his family, but that he has set to me and my family as well. He also accepted Akilo, who has no connection to Akunda for a tailor, and I'm greatly appreciative for that as well. But this morning, you know, when I got up this morning, we were going to study Romans 10, and that's not what we're going to. You're going to have to come next week if you want to hear Romans 10. This is going to be the briefest of moments, but just a word of encouragement. The shortest sermon that I've ever heard also comes from the shortest verse that I'm aware of. Jesus wept. I think what is so profound about that, about those two words, is that Jesus feels what we feel. Jesus experienced emotion of loss. I found it fascinating in my life, thinking about that simple verse, that Jesus wept. I found it fascinating because here in this moment of sharing in the suffering and the struggle of Mary and Martha, with the loss of Lazarus, knowing he's fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead, knowing that Lazarus was fixing to walk amongst them again, he wept. He shared in the struggle. He shared in the grief of loss. And I think sometimes in you know, historically speaking, men don't cry, or, you know, it's like this. We try to tune ourselves out to all emotion, but the reality is, the emotions of love, the emotion of connectivity, it stirs something inside of us. And what I love about that text is that we see in this moment in Jesus' life, him showing us an example of, listen, loss is loss, struggle is struggle, and we're connected to that. The Holy Spirit, as we read in Romans 8, and the Holy Spirit, the reason I bring that up is given to us, and prays when we don't know how to pray. Connection to God and understands the struggle in our own hearts. Sometimes, you know, there's been times in my life where I didn't know how to express the feelings, the uncertainty or the anguish that I've had in my life. And in those moments and time of my life, I have leaned on the Spirit of God to intercede on my behalf. And so this morning I want to challenge us. There is a family that's a large part of this congregation that's hurting this morning. And they've been hurting. They understand struggle. We don't always know the right way to respond to it, or we have uncertainty with how we deal with that. But my prayer for each of us this morning is that each of us spend time, even if you don't know the words to say, to just allow yourself to spend time with God, thinking about the Kunda family this morning. My prayer is that we hold each other in this special place in each of our hearts. You know, because it's evident and it's easy for us sometimes to see the physical struggles of life, but we're very good and very professional at concealing the internal struggles that each of us go through in life. I don't often know how to pray for each of you and what's going on in your life. You often don't know how to pray for me and what's going on in my life. Because so oftentimes in our life, we conceal the things that trouble us the most. And we present the Facebook version of ourselves to the people that we're around. My prayer for each of us this morning is that we understand that there is a representation in here this morning of a tremendous amount of struggle and strife and frustration. Because it's this thing we call life. And in the midst of our lives, we deal with things, and unfortunately we deal with them so privately because we feel like they're going to show us or present us in a poor light. My prayer is that this congregation be what was intended for the first century church. We spend a lot of time in the Church of Christ talking about the first century church, but I genuinely feel like we sometimes miss the essence of what that was. It was community. It was community. And if you look at Acts 2 and 42 through 46, they met together daily. They broke bread together. They shared with each other. They struggled with each other. They did life together. Because in the midst of doing life, we have alienated ourselves sometimes to the point where we don't let anybody in. And when we don't let anybody in, they don't know that they can offer a shoulder sometimes. Maybe a hand. Or maybe just an intercessory prayer to God. My prayer for this church hasn't changed in the years that Lynn and I have been here. My prayer for this church is that it is a church that loves well, that listens well, that reflects the grace and mercy that God reflects. And sometimes there aren't words. God knows your heart. Sometimes we don't know the right thing to say, but God does. And in this morning, when I don't really know the right thing to say or have the right words, thank you, Mark, for doing what you did and giving an opportunity for some people just to say and verbalize and put out in the atmosphere what's going on in their mind. This morning, I just want to close with a prayer. Sermons don't have to be long. They just need to touch to the heart of what's going on around us. This morning there's some struggle going on. There's a whole section over here that just needs a hug. They don't need you to fix it. They just need to know that they're loved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and it's interesting now. We make plans and we've got all this figured out, and then life throws curveballs. And sometimes we just continue with what we're doing and try to allow the system to regulate the heart of man. And Lord, I love these people in this place. I love the Kunda family. Been able over the years to develop strong relationships in that family. When they hurt, I hurt. When they struggle, I struggle. Help us to see that when they hurt, you hurt. That when they struggle, you struggle. And that you've connected us to those emotions, and that you're not so far reaching that you don't weep when a friend is lost. That you don't weep because you watch Mary and Martha struggling, that you're so above all that you don't experience the struggles that this life has dealt. Help us to see you as fully human and fully God. Help us to trust you with our heart, trust you with our emotions, trust you with our struggles, our victories, our shortcomings, our celebrations. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you help us to understand how much how much you desire us to trust who you are. How much we should trust who you've said you will be and who we are in relationship to who you are. Dear Heavenly Father, my prayer this morning is that this family is wrapped up and feels not just love from this congregation, but feels the love of the Father. The Father that weeps when we weep, that hears our every struggle, and mourns our loss. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we thank you ultimately for your Son that has granted us the access to the throne room of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we pray all of these things in your most holy and precious name.